Amen. Well, I know that you've already been blessed in our worship and experienced the love and forgiveness of God in Jesus. And so we're just going to spend a few more minutes here looking at God's Word and reflecting on our three words for this morning, I forgive you. So I want to start by reading this morning from the 18th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. And, you know, Jesus had gotten a reputation around Judea about being a preacher who talked about forgiveness a lot. So much so that his disciples are beginning to wonder, you know, is this stuff binding on us, right? You know, sometimes you hear a really good sermon and you're like, whoo, I'm glad that other people have to do that stuff. But the disciples are beginning to think that perhaps Jesus means them as well. And so one of the disciples, Peter, comes to Jesus and has a great question. And so I'm going to read there, and then in response to the question, Jesus, as he often does, tells a story. So from Matthew 18, starting in verse 21. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all his possessions so that payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, pay what you owe. And then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. But he refused. And then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw that it happened, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. I forgive you. Forgiveness is a topic that preachers love to preach about because everyone knows what forgiveness is, but no one can define it, right? I forgive you. So, I want to say a few things here at the very beginning in hopes that if you do drift off to sleep, when you wake up and everybody's gone, you'll remember these important part. And forgiveness is so important. I wanted to get this out of the way right in the beginning. We believe as Christians that each one of us has done things for which we need forgiveness. We've said or done hurtful things. We've distorted the truth. We've neglected our responsibilities. We've hurt other people's feelings. And there's just no way to get around it that all of us need forgiveness. And the good news is that means none of us have to look around and wonder who I'm preaching to. Because I'm preaching to me and all of us. All of us need forgiveness. That's number one. Second, if you don't remember anything else, the Christian faith teaches us that forgiveness is not optional. It's not one of the things you should do as a Christian if you get around to it, right? Read the Bible, pray, go to church, and then somewhere down there forgive if I get to it, right? No, forgiveness is not optional. We're commanded to forgive because we have been forgiven. And Jesus Christ has entrusted to the church the ministry of reconciliation. We are to be forgiving people because God has forgiven us. So, if you don't get anything else out of today, forgiveness is something that all of us need, and forgiveness is something all of us are commanded to do. Now, problem is, we might get a reputation for being forgiving people. And people might begin to wonder, will you forgive anything? And how many chances will you give me? Peter has this question. He comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, how many times should we forgive? And of course, Peter doesn't really know, really doesn't want an answer, right? He's come with one, right? He's proud of himself. He's coming with one of those questions that he's going to get brownie points on, right? Jesus, I just had a question. I was wondering, how many times should we forgive? How about seven? And that seems like a pretty arbitrary number, unless you realize that in this time, in Peter's and Jesus' day, the rabbis taught that you should forgive someone three times. And they got that from the book of Amos, one of the books of the Old Testament, where the prophet Amos over and over says this phrase on behalf of the Lord, for three transgressions I'll forgive, but not for four. This idea that God will forgive you three times, but then God's vengeance and wrath will pour down on the fourth mistake. All right? So be careful. You get three chances, but number four. And so the rabbis taught you should forgive other people three times. And so Peter has a great idea. Peter's been listening to these sermons on forgiveness. He's been following Jesus around. And he's like, Jesus, I got a great idea. We should do the three times two plus one for good measure. We're so merciful. Seven times. Now, before we dunk on Peter here for a second, he's got a point, right? At some level, there has to be a limit to our forgiveness, right? I mean, people can't just keep on abusing us or making mistakes and expect us to forgive them over and over. I mean, there's a thin line between being forgiving and being empowering or enabling of people's misbehavior, right? So where's the line? Because we don't, certainly, and I believe this, we don't want to condone sin or make excuses for people to continue to hurt themselves or others. So where's the line? Peter's got a point. He just is really proud of himself for how merciful he's being. Jesus, I know we got to have a limit. I know we got to set up a hard and fast rule. And I have a great idea. Seven times. Now, I can almost hear Jesus roll his eyes at Peter. I can see him think, oh, Peter, why do you have to make everything a math problem? But he says that in his mind, I think. In the scripture, he looks at Peter and says, no, not seven, 77. Now, I imagine many of us look at that number and think, wow, that's a big number. For those of you who are approaching the age 77, you think, that's not a big number. But it seems like Jesus is just pulling a number out of the air, right? Peter's coming at him with seven. He's countering with 77. Means just a whole lot, right? But more than that, it's an important biblical number. Now, remember, Peter and the fishermen and Matthew the tax collector and the rest of the disciples, they're good Jewish boys. They were raised, maybe didn't go to synagogue every Sunday, but they got enough of an education to know this number, 77. It's not arbitrary. It's not out of nowhere. It comes from the Bible. Genesis chapter 4, where a figure named Lamech. Can everyone say Lamech? Excellent. You're excellent Hebrew scholars. Lamech. Did anyone remember Lamech? Okay, good. So you can't check me on this. But trust me, he's the great-great-great-grandson of Cain. Anyone heard Cain? Yeah, Cain who killed his brother Abel. This is not a good family. These are the cousins we don't want to invite, right? This is the side of the family we'd rather not talk about. But after Cain killed Abel, they had more children. And his great-great-great-grandson, Lamech, was a bad dude. And in Genesis chapter 4, he gives everyone else a warning. If you come after me or my family, I'm not going to make revenge on just one of you. I'm going to avenge 77 times. So thousands of years later, everyone knew the number 77 meant revenge. And here's Jesus saying, we're going to forgive 77 times. Vengeance keeps count. Forgiveness loses count. Jesus has taken the common wisdom of the day and, like Jesus always does, flips it around. You want to be forgiving? You're going to be forgiving a lot. So much so that you lose count of how forgiving you are. Of course, that sounds good in principle. It makes a good looking slide. You can all write it down and take that home. But what about in practice? What does that look like? Well, then Jesus tells a story. He says there was a king who decided to order a financial audit of his books. And during the audit, it comes to his attention that one of his slaves has been embezzling money. It's been happening for years. It's been so much money that the slave has embezzled, get this, 10,000 talents. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't really do ancient currency conversion in my head that fast. The Greek word is myriad, a myriad of talents. And in Greek, myriad at this point in history is the largest number that had ever been thought of. Myriad. 10,000. Quite literally, Jesus has used the biggest number the disciples had ever heard of and said, this guy has run up that much debt. Now, we can do ancient calculations. So 10,000 talents is roughly 15 years worth of minimum wage. So think of 15 years' salary is how much this guy owes. But really, the idea is for a myriad, for all these reasons, the disciples are thinking, this guy will never be able to repay this debt. And that's precisely Jesus' point. This guy owes so much to the king that he will never, ever repay it. And so he throws himself at the king's mercy. Literally throws himself on the ground and says, please have patience with me and I will repay it. The king looks at him and says, I'll do you one better. No more debt. All forgiven. So what does the guy do? He goes out, bumps into a guy, a friend of his, that owes him 100 denarii. About $2.50. He grabs the guy by the neck and says, I'm glad I ran into you. You owe me some money. Pay up. The guy drops to the ground and says the exact same words. Have patience with me and I'll repay you. So what does our guy do? Calls the cop, presses charges, has him thrown into jail for $2.50 after having just been freed from thousands of dollars. Now, I know you won't believe this, but people gossip back then. And the word got around at what this guy had done. It gets back to the king. And the king says, I cannot believe that after all that I did for you, you could not do the same for your brother. And he puts him in jail where he will spend the rest of his life. Oh, I wish Jesus had stopped right there. But instead he looks up at his disciples and says, so will my Father in heaven do to any of you who do not forgive. So it seems that for Jesus, forgiveness is a big deal. And it seems that it somehow will impact how we live the rest of our life. So, having said all that, what can we do? Well, I suggest we start practicing the words, I forgive you. Now, hear me when I say this. Forgiveness is not a feeling. Sometimes we've been taught that forgiveness is supposed to feel something. Like, I need to feel like you really understand how you hurt me. I need you to feel your mistake, or I don't feel like forgiving you. And quite frankly, in the Bible, forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is not a feeling. So I'm going to relieve you of the pressure of trying to wait till you feel like forgiving somebody. No, instead, forgiveness is a gift. Forgiveness is a gift. And just like a birthday gift, right? Do you give someone a birthday gift because they've earned it or deserved it? No, it's just their birthday. You give them a gift. It's what we do, right? And that's what we do as Christians. We forgive because it's a gift that we have that we're supposed to give to each other. And the option is that we hold on to it. And the thing is, when we hold on to forgiveness, we're not holding on to forgiveness. We're holding on to the anger and the shame and the frustration and the hatred. We hang on to that stuff and it consumes us, and we keep thinking about how wrong the other person is, how bad they treated us, and we think about it every day, and we wake up in the morning and we think about it at night, and it consumes us and it eats us from the inside. And you know what? We end up in prison, a prison of our own design, tortured like the wicked servant. And I hate to break it to you, but half the time we're holding on to anger at somebody who doesn't even remember what they did to us. Instead, we have the opportunity to give it all away, because forgiveness is a gift. Forgiveness is a gift because God gave us forgiveness in ways that we can never repay. And finally, forgiveness is a way of life. What's interesting is Jesus doesn't start his little story, his parable, with the words, now I'm going to teach you about how to handle debt. It's not about it. He doesn't start with, now I'm going to teach you how not to get thrown into prison. Although that's a good advice, that's not what the parable's about. He begins by saying, the kingdom of heaven is like. And in this, we understand that in the kingdom of heaven, forgiveness is to be a way of life. So even if you don't feel like forgiving, we should forgive. Even if you don't believe the other person deserves it, we should forgive. In fact, let me tell you a secret. It's not even about the other person at all. It is about you. Because in forgiveness, we free ourselves of anything any sense of anger and hatred. And we should do it every day. Forgiveness should be our way of life. But I know what you're thinking. Do we really have to do it 77 times? Well, let me put it another way. We can stop forgiving others the day after we stop needing forgiveness for ourselves. And in the meantime, let's just not keep count. Let's pray. Lord, we know that we have been forgiven of so much. Forgiven of our sins, forgiven of our mistakes, forgiven by things we didn't even know we needed forgiving for. And we know that we live in a world in which there is so much hurt and pain and division that sometimes it seems inconceivable that we could be a people known as people of forgiveness. And so help us to not keep it all to ourselves. Help us to forgive as much as we've been forgiven, recognizing that we can never repay the debt. Help us not to keep count of how many times other people have hurt us, but help us lose count in how many times forgiveness has come from our lips. Free us from our need to hold on to those hurts and help us to give freely. May the words, "I forgive you," be words that easily flow from our mouth. And may each morning we arise with the good news that you say those same words to us before we even speak our morning's breath. I forgive you. Amen. Sisters and brothers, I've got good news for you this morning. Your debt has been paid. You are forgiven. And all that Jesus asks you to do is to go and tell others that good news. To go and tell others you don't hold the debt against you. Go and tell others, I forgive you. And so does God. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.